David. It was a voice from heaven which said, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." It is possible sometimes that though we talk about God and pray and listen to the word of God, we can experience it as a disconnect from our lives. It has been my observation in my own life, and sometimes in the lives of others as well, that we can make sure and certain assertions about our faith, and then life happens, shaking our reality, making us less sure, and definitely not in control. So much so that I am sometimes suspicious of, or at least curious, when a person is a little bit too sure about matters of faith. This happens over and over again in our lives. One time, and simply for the sake of example, in my own life, I was happily studying theology in seminary. Some people complained about the rigors of academic work or simply found it impractical. I was enjoying it, I'll admit. I felt blessed with the luxury of nothing but studying. Then two things happened within 1 week of each other. There was the December 26, 2004 tsunami in Indonesia that killed a completely unimaginable 230,000 people from 14 countries. And then in that same week, on a more personal level, the sudden death of Adam Gorin, a young 26-year-old seminarian who died of a heart attack and was a friend. Neither one of these events made any sense. How could a loving God allow these things to happen? Perhaps in the course of your life, you have also asked this question: how could God allow this? At the time, some of the more fundamentalist types quickly surmised that the tsunami, which is an event that occurred in nature and we can explain in scientific terms as the movement of tectonic plates in the ocean, but some, trying to explain, quickly concluded the tsunami to be God's retribution for some evil, or for the fact that Indonesia is primarily Muslim. Offensive and nonsense, but apparently newsworthy at the time. I think in many ways it is easier for us to explain evil, and we always want to blame someone. But I wonder, is God in charge of things like the weather, like volcanoes and forest fires, natural disasters of any kind? Does God cause these things? What about heart disease or childhood cancer? We find some clues in the gospel and also in the psalm for today, Psalm 29, which was so beautifully sung by the choristers. That psalm is thought to be one of the earliest psalms, one of the earliest writings in all of Hebrew scripture. It appears that it was lifted, or borrowed, if you will, from an even more ancient Canaanite poem to the god Baal. Baal was considered to be the god of rain and thunder and the god of fire. And it is not clear if Psalm 29 is intended to mimic a nice Canaanite poem, or more likely to refute the claims about Baal and attribute them to the God of Israel. Seven times in this psalm, Psalm 29, we hear about the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness and flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord makes Lebanon skip like a calf. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. Interestingly, not the God of the universe, but just her voice. Beyond all of the natural forces we observe in the universe, over the power of an earthquake or flood, volcano or fire, meteor showers and solar flares and atmospheric rivers, beyond all of that and over all of that is a voice. As much as you and I are drawn to nature and all of its power and beauty, it is also humbling. We are so small compared to its vastness and majesty and mystery. We are reminded often that we are not in control of it. You might also recall the story of Elijah, who, in fear for his life and pursued by his enemies, found himself hiding in a cave. Elijah waits for the Lord to pass by. But the Lord is not in the earthquake, neither is God in the mighty wind. God is not present in the fire. Though each of these things were magnificent in their power, God was found in a voice, a still small voice. Some translations say God was utter silence, a whisper. A whisper or a thought of God is more powerful than an earthquake. We might want to back up a little and consider that for the Hebrew people living in the time of Elijah and on into the first century Palestine in Jesus' time, words themselves were understood to have power, the power to change reality by their utterance. You can see this in the creation story, which repeatedly says, God said, let there be light, and God said, and God said, and God said that it was good. God's words or utterance initiated creation. Or when Jacob steals his brother's birthright and tricks Isaac into blessing him instead of his brother Esau, couldn't Isaac simply say, I was tricked and I made a mistake and now I'm going to go back and bless Esau? Somehow the power of the word uttered, particularly a prophecy or a blessing, changed reality and could not be undone. The voice of God is over all these things. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word changes how things are. In the very simple sacramental cleansing rite of baptism, devised or borrowed by John the Baptist, a voice declares Jesus to be a son, a beloved. God, the voice tells us, is pleased. It is not clear who heard this voice. Maybe it was no more than a whisper. But it is this word, this voice, that makes it so. Perhaps Jesus' appearance as he walked back up the riverbank on dry ground was much like it was before he was baptized by John. But the reality had changed. So powerful is the word, the voice, the thought of God. Similarly, a voice calls you by name. Sometimes by an endearing nickname, calls you into existence and into relationship. In your own baptism, a voice changes your reality. In baptism, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever, an indelible mark that cannot be undone. What are we to make of this mysterious voice? This word over everything that is, the voice over that which is seen and unseen. I don't know. I don't have a conclusive answer to give you, fellow pilgrim traveler that I am. I can only suggest that we people of faith, listen to the voice over everything. Listen in silence for the voice of God. And remember our baptism and to whom we belong.